I'd like to talk to us today about commitment and resolve. One of the greatest demonstrations of commitment and resolve, well, there's many in the Bible, but I think about the account in the book of Joshua, last chapter, chapter 24. We'll read a few verses there. Lord willing, we'll start and end in the 24th chapter of Joshua today. Thinking about the life of Joshua and how he had been kind of like a servant or a minister to Moses as a young man. He had been very close to him and had learned the ropes of leading the Israelite people in the time of their exodus from Egypt. Joshua was one of the 12 that went across into Canaan land to spy out the land. He's one of them that came back and said, we're able to take this place, when other people only saw giants and obstacles. And Joshua said that with God's help, we're able, we're capable of conquering this land. And when Moses was taken home to eternity, the scripture says that God buried him. No one ever found where, but that's what the scripture tells us, that Moses was buried. Joshua stepped in as the leader of the Israelites, and he's the one that led the people across the flooded Jordan River, conquered Jericho, and led them through the many battles of conquering the land. And by the time we read this account, the verses we're going to read here in the last chapter of Joshua, the Israelite nation had conquered enough of the Canaan land to divide it up for an inheritance and possess the land. Exactly what they left Egypt for. They were fulfilling or living the fulfillment of the promise of God. Not maybe to the extent, I believe, that God intended for them, but they were being able to possess the land. And Joshua had lived long enough. He had probably lived in Canaan land about as long as he had lived up until the time that they entered. So maybe a little longer. I haven't really done all the math on that. Somebody else might know that has studied this better. But we find here that there'd been a number of years of the people settling down in the Canaan land and being comfortable with the thought that it was their land. And there is something about victory and a victorious people that causes others to reverence them and respect them and give them, you might say, surrender to them without much debate or questioning. So I want to try to explain what I'm thinking about here. The United States has in the past, primarily since the time of World War II, became a force to be reckoned with in the world. Would you agree with that? And their military and their prowess as being capable in combat has been esteemed very highly. And over the years, there's been a lot of times that when there was conflict abroad, if the United States took a side, the other one began to concede pretty readily because of the reputation of the United States. But one of the things that we see in our generation is the United States, in many ways, has become complacent because of that reputation. The Israelites, I believe Joshua witnessed them becoming complacent. They had been victorious, and there was something about being an Israelite that caused any of the other people that might even live as neighbors to begin to question whether they wanted to contend with the Israelites or not. You're an Israelite? Well, you go ahead. You know what I'm saying? So Joshua was dealing with, at this time in his life, and this time in his leadership, because he had been an effective leader by and large. Did he make some mistakes? Yes, he made some mistakes. Were there errors in his judgment? Yes, there had been some errors in Joshua's judgment. But overall, he had been a very effective and good leader, kind of like us looking at King David later on. Both of these men were good leaders for the people. So now Joshua, with that in mind, with what I've told you in mind, Joshua addressed the people, and he actually read a lot to them in the 23rd and the first part of the 24th chapter. And in the 14th verse beginning, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is an outstanding verse in the scripture to me. It's been something that has resonated with me, and it's something that I've went back to many, many times. You've heard me use it many times, and I hope you're not tired of it this morning. But Joshua's commitment was very high. And I really don't know the state of affairs to a great extent, but I have this perception that Joshua's seen the people of Israel becoming lackadaisical, or a little bit lazy, or a little bit lethargic, and a little bit less than on the cutting edge. Just like I see our nation like that too right now. And he saw the Israelites relishing in their prosperity, and their they just felt like that things would keep on like they were. You know what? Many times we can assume that things will continue on like they are erroneously. We can come to the wrong conclusion that things will just keep going on like they've always been. And Joshua's challenge to the people was, don't let that happen. You take an initiative. He said here, make a choice today. Make a choice for yourself, for your family, for the future. Ensure that the future will be stable for yourself. And I'd like to say to all of us today, don't take it for granted that you have victory today. Don't take it for granted that you'll continue on with victory. But continue to hone your understanding and your commitment and your consecration to the Lord. It's the only way that we'll be victorious in the end. There is no room for us to become lethargic. There's no room for us to become kind of idling along and coasting. We've got to be aggressively pursuing a relationship with the Lord. I have to. I cannot allow it to go to the back burner. Excuse me. I see Joshua's commitment is very high, but he wasn't the only one in the scripture that had a high level of commitment. I'd like to turn to Job, the 13th chapter, and notice what Job said. Job was a man that almost seemed like he was all alone. There wasn't a congregation. He had a reputation. He had acquaintances that recognized who he was and what he stood for, but it wasn't like he was a leader of a group of people. It's just the story is primarily about Job, his family, and some friends that we know as Job's comforters today, and that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek expression, Job comforters. We don't want today, we don't really want Job's comforters, do we? We want some, if we need comfort, we want real comforters. So let's turn to Job, the 13th chapter, and I would like to read the 15th verse. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. I'm not going to try to expound on this verse completely, but I just want us to pick up on the level of commitment to the cause that Job had. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though things turn against me, though things look like they're not panning out like I'd hoped for. You know, I believe when Joshua took over, he had high hopes of driving out all of the giants, completely conquering the land of Canaan and being able to have perfect security. But there were things that didn't turn out quite like that. And it wasn't 100%, although God intended for them and said that that's what they should do, they didn't 100% wipe out the ites of the land. And I believe that when Joshua got down to that last part of his life, and he made this declaration, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I believe he had some, he was reflecting and kind of had some melancholy thoughts about the overall success of his leadership. And I believe he looked over the people and he said in himself, I'm surmising here, it's not in the scripture. He was looking over it all and he just realized it could be better. And I look over us today as a congregation, and I'm thankful for every one of us that's here, and I don't want any of us to become slack in our walk with the Lord. I want us to keep it up to date, and I want you to have the commitment. I want to follow through. I want you to be like Joshua when he says, "It's for me and my house." When it, if it looks like that those around us are not choosing to follow the Lord like we have been pricked in our hearts to do, that we would continue on. Joshua was at that place, I believe. I believe he wouldn't have said that if he didn't see some degeneration and some deterioration of integrity around him. I don't believe he would have said, but it's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I don't believe Job would have said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. If he didn't realize he was up against disagreeable circumstance, And if he didn't realize he was up against things that could overthrow him and cause him to ultimately come to failure, I don't think he would have took that stronger stance. But Job had a commitment. Joshua had a commitment. But they also had something else, and that's where this other word comes in. He had a resolve. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back up. I look back in my life and I recognize some places in my occupation that I gave up. And I want to tell you a little story that happened to me when I was young and didn't have a lot of professional training at that time. And I was working on my own vehicle, my first truck. And I'd bought a carburetor from the junkyard to fix and put on my truck. And when I took it apart, there was a little tiny spring about the size of what's in a ballpoint pen popped out and went somewheres. I have no idea where. And I put it all back together without that spring. And it ran, but it didn't run like it should. And I took it apart, and I put it back together. And I took it apart, and I put it back together. I don't know how many times, but I finally said, I don't know what to do. And I went and got something else and put on my truck. And I remember the day, I remember the scene so vividly because it's been kind of a scar in my life. I look back now and recognize that I know what was wrong. I didn't then. I remember the day when I took that carburetor off the last time and I walked over to the garbage can and I reached up, I had it in my hand, I reached up just as high as I could and I threw that carburetor down in that trash can and I never picked it back up again. You know, I don't tell you that story and say, oh, that was, I really showed that carburetor. I look at that story because it was a point of failure. I give up. I lost my resolve. And I don't want to get to a place like that in my walk with the Lord. I've seen those that go along and they get to a place that they feel like that the Lord isn't doing what He's supposed to do. Or maybe they're disappointed because of circumstances of life and feel like that the what they were experiencing is not justified. And they turn back on the Lord. And they give up. That's not resolve. That's not what Joshua had. And that's not what Job had. Both of these men that I've read to you about said, I am resolved. I'm not turning back. It's for me and my house. I'm going to live for the Lord. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. There's no other way. You remember when Jesus turned and asked his disciples, will you go also? Will you go away also? And they said, Lord, to whom would we go? Where would we go? You know, when things seem to be going against us, just what do you think you would do that would be better? Have you ever thought of it like that? What path could I choose for my life? What allegiance could I put myself to that would end up with a better reward than the one that Joshua got? Than the one that Moses got? Than the reward that Job got? I want a reward like them too. I'd like to turn over a few pages in the book of Job to the 23rd chapter and notice what Job said here. We won't read it all, but I want to tell you that Job was in a close place in this 23rd chapter. And he said some things that were he had to repent of later. Did you hear what I said? Job said some things in this 23rd chapter that he had to say, I'm sorry for later. He basically was saying in the first part of this chapter, if only I could talk to the Lord, I would tell him how I really thought. And he had to come to a place that he was willing to repent of that. Not because he had taken the wrong path necessarily, but he wanted to really tell God how he felt. He felt abandoned. You know, Job, this is the same man that said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And I said Job had a lot of resolve and he had a lot of commitment because he did. But I want you to notice the words that he did say that I feel like is very profitable for our discussion today. Beginning in verse 8, chapter 23, he says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth, this is very key here, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, when it's all over with, when we get to the end of our book, he said, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I don't know where you feel like you are today. I just know that there are times in all of our life where we feel like we've been tested to the limit and a little bit beyond. And we don't really know how we can keep going on. And here's what does keep us going on. It's commitment and it's resolve. It's the commitment that, Lord, I don't know what else I would do. There's nothing else that really appeals to me that I know will end well. You know, there's some things that might offer some momentary, exhilarating experiences, but I know where that ends up. I know that I will end up embarrassing myself and being a fool if I go the way that's away from the Lord. And Job here, to me, demonstrated that his commitment was stellar. It was 100% on target. He was not willing to back up. He was not willing, as the song says, he was giving up no ground. I'd like to turn to Daniel, the third chapter, and notice a few verses here. And the story that we're going to read a little bit of is the story where his three friends that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were offered a second chance to conform to the demands of a wicked king. The wicked king had set up a gold idol, real tall thing, statue. And his command was that everybody would bow down and worship this, and they had failed to do that at the proper signal. So they were brought up before the king, and the king, he loved these men and he respected them, and they were key components in his government system, and he wanted them to be spared from punishment. But he had set a precedence here that if you don't bow down to my idol, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace. You know the story. Most of us, I would hope all of us know that story. And I'd like to read beginning verse 16. This is after he had given the three men a second chance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Sounds like their mind was made up, doesn't it? It sounded like their resolve was pretty solid. It sounded like they had a very high level of commitment to something, and we'll find out what it was. It says, if it be so, if this plays out like you say, if you follow through with your threats, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. I'm confident, and my commitment is that I will not bow down to something that's in opposition to the God of all creation. I can't do that, O King. And I just want you to know that if you don't give us some room here, if you force us to take this stand, we're not going to bow down. And if you take us and throw us in the fiery furnace, it's not going to change our commitment. We're committed to not bowing down, not because we just want to be rebellious for the sake of being rebellious, but our commitment is such that we're not going to bow down. They said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's a lot of resolve, isn't it? That's a lot of commitment. And the king felt like that he could force them into bowing down. But what he found was that their commitment and their resolve was stronger than his threat. And didn't turn out so well for the king, did it? You remember how that story went? They didn't, and he did. They didn't bow, and he did throw them in the burning fiery furnace. But thank the Lord, that's not where it ended. They come out of that furnace because the king got a vision of Jesus in that burning furnace with them. He said, the fourth man in the fire looks like the Son of God. He got a vision of Jesus. They come out, and that is the last word we ever heard of that golden image. The thing that he had set up, that I think it was something that he intended to be a ritual and maybe a periodic annual affair. I don't know what it was that he had set this thing up for. It just completely, I don't know. Did they tear it down and make goblets out of it? I don't know what they did. But it totally destroyed the effect of his. What do you think all the rest of them did that was there? And don't you know that all the other hundreds or thousands of people that had bowed down to that golden statue and they saw these three men being delivered out of the burning fiery furnace? Don't you know that they felt like they'd been made out a fool? But what was it that brought them through? It was their resolve and their commitment. These three men, it was their resolve and their commitment. So I want to ask us today, what's our resolve and our commitment? And what's its effect on those around us? Joshua's life and the account of his life has impacted me. Job, many times when I think that I have a tough place in life, I can look to Job and say, I believe the same God is able to help me that helped Job. And I've never been faced with the threat of being thrown in a furnace for not bowing down to something. But when I read the story of Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children escaping that furnace, it's a challenge, and it's an encouragement to me. They've impacted me, and they live many, many, many years before me. And I'm thankful that we have their accounts in the Scripture. I'd like to go back to the 24th chapter of Joshua where we started. And I'd like to notice how this chapter ends. And I'd like to notice the picture that's painted here in the last part of the 24th chapter of Joshua. We're going to read beginning verse 29 through the end of the chapter pretty well. It says, "It came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." Sound like Joshua's life was impactful, doesn't it? It sounds like that Joshua's example of commitment and resolve was something that affected other people. And you know, I'd like to think that when I'm gone, that others will say, "I want to be faithful like he was." I'd like to think that that would have some effect. So what it says here in verse 31, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." So how many generations did that last? Joshua's children, maybe grandchildren, maybe some great-grandchildren that had known Joshua, that had known the others, Caleb. You remember Caleb was another one of the spies that says we're well able. And when he was 80 years old, he said, "Give me that mountain that's got the giants in it. I'll take that one for my inheritance." And he drove the giants out. But there's something inferred by this verse that's not very nice. And what's being inferred here is that after those that had personally known Joshua and Caleb and the others that had witnessed the crossing of the Jordan and the victories in Canaan land, you know, Joshua and Caleb could take them back to the crossing of the Red Sea, but they were the only two. The rest of them that we're talking about is the ones that had seen the people of the land being conquered by the Israelite nation. And what's being inferred in this verse to me is, after those that had personally known those that had witnessed the victories of the Lord, something else began to happen. The commitment and the resolve fell away. Do you think that when Joshua said to the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve," and he followed it up with, "As far as me is my house, we'll serve the Lord," do you think he said that just for those that were under the sound of his voice? I think he said it for me. I think he said it for you today. He wants you all, he wants us all to choose to serve the Lord and to make that kind of commitment and to be true and have the resolve to follow through like Job did and like the three Hebrew children did. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to change course. They felt like they were being very conspicuous. Can you imagine the crowd? And they were brought up before the king and ridiculed for their choice not to bow. And yet the Lord saw them through because of their commitment and their resolve. But I read in this 31st verse and I recognize that something else began to develop after Joshua and Caleb and those that had witnessed the crossing of the Jordan and those that had witnessed the victories of the Israelites in battle. After they passed off to the scene, the people began to drift away. And that's when we go in to the book of Judges. And we find the book of Judges is an account of the people getting in trouble with the Lord and God having mercy and getting in trouble and God having mercy. And they weren't really victorious like God wanted them. And why weren't they victorious? They didn't have the commitment and they didn't have the resolve. When things got tough and they were faced with hard choices, to follow the Lord or to adopt something else, they adopted something else. And it got them in trouble over and over again. Did you know that our commitment and our resolve, or lack thereof, will impact future generations as well? It will. Now notice the rest of the verses in this chapter. It says in verse 32, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him on Mount Ephraim." Aaron. The son of Aaron died. The son of Aaron was the one that became Moses' spokesperson. Aaron was the one that at the instruction of Moses had told Pharaoh, "You got to let us go. If you don't let us go," he goes way back. You know, Aaron remembered when Moses was put in a little basket and put in the bulrushes. You can think about all of the things, the things that God worked out for the Israelites. The deliverance from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of Jordan, all of those things had been witnessed, and all of that stuff, all of those eyewitnesses of those accounts, those firsthand knowledge was buried. And now what? So I'm thinking about us today and where we're at. There are those that I knew that knew those that saw what we call the birth of the Evening Light Reformation. Where it was a rediscovery of first century Christianity and its power and its glory. There was lost truth down through the years. We studied the book of Revelations. We found how Christianity went into apostasy and all those things. And I've known those that knew those, that was there when it was happening. Not so many years ago. And I asked myself, where am I at today? Where's my commitment? Where's my resolve? Am I willing to have the level of commitment that those that went on before me had? There's a lot of people that's been buried in my lifetime that knew those that were there at that time. Joshua, the book of Joshua ends up with Joshua being buried. It tells us, we don't know if it happened at this time or not, that Joseph's bones were buried. The son of Aaron was buried. All of those direct connections to all of those vivid memories of God's working miraculous power, they've all been buried. All of those that could have known, those that were witnessing the revelation of full truth, they're gone. They're not here. You know, the only thing that'll take this on into the future is for you and I to have commitment and resolve. That's the only thing. I don't have those memories. There's things I didn't witness. There's things I have witnessed. But the only thing that'll give me power with God, the only thing that'll give me deliverance in the time that I'm called on the carpet, so to speak, and being given the choice to bow to an image or to suffer the consequence, the only thing that'll give me the ability to choose to suffer as a Christian rather than fall to the things that the world has to offer is commitment and resolve. So my challenge for us today, I trust the Lord will take our meager thoughts and dig about our hearts. My challenge for us today is, do I want to become like the Israelite nation? Come down to the point that when Christ came, they rejected Him. They didn't accept Him. I want to be ready when Christ comes. When Christ comes back to receive His own, I want to be ready. I want to be one of those that can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be one of those that's crying for rocks and hills to cover me, to protect me. I want to be one of those that has the commitment and the resolve to follow. Even if I feel like I'm Job. If I feel like everything has been taken away from, if I don't feel Him on the left or the right or behind me, and it seems like wherever I turn, things are opposing what I know to be truth and what I know to be right. I want to hold, I want to have the commitment and the resolve to hold true to what the Lord has. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful. I want to be an example of the believers in all points in my life. So keep me in your prayers. Amen.